Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Year two under Brent Pry saw Virginia Tech get back to a bowl game. What will year three hold? We'll get an idea Saturday at the annual spring game. We'll preview that today on Teal and Barton. Welcome to episode 143 of Teal and Barber, our Virginia Tech, UVA, and ACC sports podcast. You can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your favorite pods. I'm Mike Barber, ACC beat writer for the Richmond Times-Dispatch, and joining me as always, my co-host, the 15-time Sports Writer of the Year and the Virginia Sports Hall of Famer, columnist David Teal. And David, today we have a special edition of the pod previewing Saturday's spring football game at Virginia Tech. We'll be joined by Virginia Tech wide receiver Jalen Lane. We'll be joined by Hokies beat writer Damian Sordlett of the Roanoke Times. He'll share his observations. South Carolina and UConn just cut down the championship nets, David, so I guess it's time for some football?
I guess it is. We have a spring game on Saturday as the Hokies conclude workouts. And Mike, what is the number one objective of every spring game?
Just don't get
hurt. Correct.
And that's not just for the sports writers. That's for the players. But David, it's going to be an interesting spring game because to that point, Virginia Tech has a ton of players back, a ton of players they know a lot about, a ton of players they're probably going to hold out of a lot of contact and real action on Saturday. That being said, as we get ready for the game, what are we looking for? What do we want to see from Virginia Tech on Saturday?
Well, it sounds like especially from reading what Damian's been writing from Tech's media availabilities and his observations from practice snippets and such, that the backup quarterback position behind Kyron Drones, be it either Pop Watson or Dylan Whitke, that's the primary position battle, maybe. I don't know if that's the primary one, but perhaps the one of most interest. I think there are still some spots on the starting offensive line where you're not exactly sure what they're going to do, particularly at guard, and then maybe the rotation at linebacker. But otherwise, this lineup, A, looks pretty set, and B, rather promising.
Yeah, it is remarkable in this era of the transfer portal of NIL to see the amount of returning players that Virginia Tech has, guys who could have potentially turned pro but didn't, guys who could have gone in the portal, tested the NIL waters, but didn't. Tremendous buy-in, it appears, for Brent Pry going into year three. David, they were much better in year two. They got to a bowl game. I thought that was a really positive step for the program. But as you just alluded to, year three, especially with their schedule, which I think is favorable, has a chance to be really something special. What is the shape, the state of the program under Pry right now?
Well, Mike, first, a word of caution, as I think we must always have in these times of the portal and such. The portal opens again after spring ball, and you never say never. Yes, it appears that all these cats are going to be back for 2024, but I imagine that the staff will have a few anxious moments along the way of, as they say, recruiting the locker room just to make sure everyone stays in the fold. But yes, if indeed everyone returns as anticipated, then yes, with the schedule the way it is, very manageable non-conference, and the conference schedule breaks pretty well for them. I think 8-4 is very realistic, because I think they could, maybe even should, go 4-0 in the non-conference. You run the table in the non-conference, and then all you got to do is go 4-4 in the league. They were 5-3 in the league last season, which was a serious step up. And oh, by the way, Mike, they closed with such a flourish on the offensive side. Now, granted, the opponents were Boston College NC State, very good defensively. Then UVA, not so good. And then Tulane, which was just decimated by the portal. But the Hokies averaged 43 points a game over those last four outings. That's pretty darn good, no matter who you're playing. I mean, they rung up 172 points those last four games. When's the last time the Hokies did that?
This is a fascinating offense that they're bringing back, David, because they've got the quarterback back in Drones again. As we sit here and record at this moment, they have Drones back at quarterback. They learned, I thought, really well. I thought that was a great job by the coaching staff as the year went. What he was good at, how to use him, how to deploy him, how to support him. They've got, I think, 9 or 10 functional offensive linemen. You mentioned not exactly sure where they're going to play, but they've got a real two deep. And it feels like it's been a long time since we could say they had a real two deep on the offensive line. It felt like a lot of years they had five guys and two more that they could play if they had to. So there's some depth there at the offensive line that makes you feel better. A returning quarterback, stars at running back. But David, this receiving core, to me, it is just fascinating because, okay, are the top three of Lane, of Felton,
Jennings.
And Ollie Jennings back now from the injury.
Providing, that he's at full strength, which from all accounts he is.
Yeah, and we'll talk to Damian about that a little bit later, but he's been impressed, I know, with what he's seen. Are they as good as Isaiah Ford, Cam Phillips, Bucky Hodges as a starting three? Probably not there. Maybe they will be, but probably a notch behind. But if you remember Ford, Phillips, and Hodges, those guys played a ton of snaps because there was nothing experience-wise behind them. Now you have some depth, whether it's Gosnell or Holloway. There's some pieces there.
Aiden Green apparently has had quite the spring.
Green, Xavier Brown, was it Brown Bradshaw? Now I'm butchering
Turner
his name.
Bradshaw.
Turner Bradshaw.
Who had the touchdown against UVA, remember?
Right. So you've got some pieces now that actually have some experience behind them. I think this receiving core, David, could be really, really special, especially, as you mentioned, if Jennings is truly healthy.
And again, Mike, you think about especially Drones, Felton, Jennings, and now who am I, and Lane. This is just their second spring in the offense. You know, they should really, really be far more advanced than they were a year ago and able to build off last season's closing momentum.
Yeah, they did. You know, we joked about this and people tell, you know, what do bowl games mean anymore? But I think for Virginia Tech, that bowl game was significant, right? Because they ended with momentum. They ended with identity, playing the way that Brent Pry wants them to play. And I think it, one, showed the buy-in of guys who did decide to come back, right? That they were invested in that game. And then they backed it up by showing up for spring ball. So I think maybe as much as any program in the country, I think Virginia Tech's bowl appearance was a positive and was reflective maybe of what's to come.
Not only bowl appearance, but bowl victory, bowl success.
Performance, yeah.
I mean, Mike, this is the first time since, I believe, 2015 that Virginia Tech won its last two games of a season. Now, hey, Virginia Tech's on a very modest two-game winning streak. Care to guess how many ACC teams close with more than two straight wins? That would be Clemson, just Clemson, post Tyler from Spartanburg.
Yeah, of course, Florida State would argue, hey, if we had our quarterback, we might have been there as well. But yeah,
they might have. But Clemson closed with 5, Duke and Virginia Tech with 2. Those are the only 3 multi-game winning streaks in the entire conference.
No,
there's no doubt.
Yeah, no doubt. I think that Pry has good momentum on the field, good momentum with player retention. I think we've seen some good momentum on the recruiting front. I anticipate, David, a pretty good crowd on Saturday. This is a crowd that showed up all season, even early in the year for Virginia Tech, when we weren't quite sure what we were going to get. It feels like the enthusiasm for Virginia Tech football is in a pretty good place right now.
And I think it's even heightened, Mike, by some of the discouraging notes of the last few weeks on the basketball front, particularly the women's basketball. I think Virginia Tech fans are grasping for some, and what do they care about most? Football. And what seems to be trending upward more than any program that they truly, truly care about is football. So yes, I absolutely believe the enthusiasm is there.
If there's something that can pull Tech fans out of the doldrums of the portal exodus for the men's basketball team, Kenny Brooks and the women leaving after the injury to Kitley and such a disappointing end to that year, it's going to be interesting for Virginia Tech going forward, because certainly its reputation, David, is as a football school. But you have a finite amount of dollars. And how do you use those dollars on the NIL front when you're trying to compete at that level with women's basketball? We heard Kenny Brooks talk about, hey, resources and support, big reason why he went to Kentucky. Mm-hmm. We're seeing these basketball players, and we don't know all the details, but Lynn Kidd, for example, immediately transferring to Miami. What was the NIL factor there? We know what Miami's been able to do. If you're Virginia Tech, it's an interesting time to determine, do you have the NIL dollars to back all three at the level you need to? And is maybe the retention we saw at football versus the exodus we saw in basketball, does that speak to maybe some of the decisions that the NIL folks at Virginia Tech are making right now?
Priorities. What is the priority at Virginia Tech? It is and was, and I would think always will be, at least in our lifetime, football.
Football drives the bus. Football pays the bills. We're going to pay some bills with a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to have Jalen Lane, wide receiver for the Virginia Tech Hokies, and Damian Sordelet, the beat writer for the Roanoke Times. Stay with us.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, we are very happy to be joined now by Virginia Tech wide receiver Jalen Lane. He's been getting ready for the spring game in preparation for next season. As David and I just detailed, it's a season with pretty high expectations. So, Jalen, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no problem, man. Thank you all for having me.
We kind of want to get into how spring has gone and what the excitement, the outlook is. You guys bring back a ton on offense. I'm curious, does that make spring ball a little more productive because you don't have too many new guys, too many guys learning all over? You've got a lot of guys who should know what's going on.
Yeah, you think back to last year's spring, you got a bunch of new guys coming on the team, a lot of transfers, there's a quarterback position battle, all that stuff going on. So, when you got these guys that's played a lot of football coming back, build a lot of chemistry, not just between quarterback and receiver, but, QB, O-line, running back, all that good stuff. So, yeah, it's been very productive, like you were saying. And, I'm excited about it.
Jalen, you guys closed the season by winning three of your last four, including the last two over UVA and then in the Military Bowl against Tulane. In those four games, you guys scored 172 points. That's like 43 a game. Yeah. I mean, do you sense a momentum from how you guys close the season carrying over into off-season workouts and then again this spring?
Yeah, that's crazy. I'd never even put that together, how many points we scored. But, we definitely kind of use that momentum to build on what we finished with. And I feel like, at that point in the season and near the end, we kind of realized, all right, we can be a great offense. We just got to do our jobs, execute. And I feel like we kind of taken that mindset throughout the spring, just, executing each play, focusing on the minor details of each play so we can, they say that the little details and the routine plays turn into explosives. So that's kind of what we've been focusing on.
Why is this offense good? Because you've got a guy we consider, a star player at almost every position when you look at quarterback, running back. But what is the identity of this offense? What works so well?
I think it goes to a lot of, there's a lot of unselfish guys on the offense. Football can be a selfish sport. And if you look at it, it's one ball to go around. But, we got guys that want to block on perimeter. You got guys that want to protect other guys. Everybody, we always say once you protect, the ball is going to eventually find you. But it's not going to find you if you're not doing your job for your brothers. But You know, so I just feel like we kind of take an unselfish mindset and we just work very well together. So just kind of continue to try to build on that.
Jalen, with you and Daquan and Ali, I mean, there's three graduate students who have played a lot of college football. Take us maybe a little further down the depth chart to some of the younger guys, maybe Aiden Green, Xavien Turner-Bradshaw. What have the younger receivers shown you this spring?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I feel like Aiden Green's having a great spring this year. He's been coming in every day, mindset to work, get better, and he's been making a lot of plays. But you got Zay Bradshaw, you got Tekai Heath, you got even younger guys, Chance Fitzgerald, Chance Wiggins. You know, there's guys that's showing up, making plays, like all throughout spring. So the future of the program is really bright. Because, once we leave, me, Quan, Ali, Steve, we're trying to leave as much and put in as much knowledge as we can to the young guys so they can, be able to step up and be able to carry the load, after the season passes. But it's good to see those guys stepping up. And, it's not too much complaining, not too much excuses. They're just coming out working every day. So it's good to see.
You have obviously the big names we know. You've got some young guys who got a little experience. I think a lot of people are curious though of what you're going to get from Ollie Jennings. He's a guy that came with a lot of hype and excitement, and then the injury. And obviously, you guys were still able to be productive without him. What does he bring? How does he look? And what do you think he's going to add to this offense?
Yeah, so Ali, he's a hard worker. It was tragic when he got hurt, but him just being there every single day, putting in the work to get back. He couldn't get back for the season, but you can see the work he's putting in now. And like I say, he's a great leader on and off the field. And like you said, he's played a lot of football, so he's still got a lot of knowledge to give, whether he was playing or not. So he's having him back is definitely going to help us a lot. Coming to fall.
You mentioned earlier, Jalen, that last spring there was quarterback competition, and this spring, not as much. What differences do you see and sense in Kyren as he is now established QB1 as opposed to someone competing for that position?
Honestly, I said that, but like really with Katie's mindset, he always keeps that mindset. I got to get better each and every day because, obviously he wants to be the best he can be, but you got to have a mindset. Like, even if it's technically not a QB battle, you got to keep that mindset just because, like, if I start messing up or slacking here, then, it's not going to help the team. So, and you can kind of see that the way he approaches each and every practice, he comes, it's not really any slack and he's coming to get better. So, and I feel like it's just giving him a lot of confidence in himself and in the receiving corps, being able to build the chemistry with him and, just continue to build on that and go from there.
David mentioned the way you guys, ended the season with good momentum. I think it was almost a national story the way going into the bowl game, guys were opting in instead of opting out, right? We'd seen so many teams where guys said, I'm not going to play. Then we go into the spring, and instead of guys flooding the portal, everybody's saying they're coming back. They're coming back. Why do you think that is? Why at Virginia Tech were guys bought in and not part of that mass exodus?
I just feel like there's definitely something special going on here in Blacksburg. Like the fans feel it, we feel it on the team, the coaching staff feels it. We just know like there's a big opportunity for us coming this season, and we don't want to waste it. And guys are putting in the work since the winter workout started. All the guys who came back, and so it's just and that's really one of the big reasons that me, Quan, Ali, and Steve, we all decided to come back as well because we feel like we can do something special that hasn't been done here in a long time. So it's something about Blacksburg.
We've naturally talked a lot about offense, but just briefly take me over to the other side of the ball because Sam Brumfield is someone that you're familiar with. Your former Blue Raider teammate down in Murfreesboro. Tell us about him and what you think he'll bring to that Mike linebacker position.
It was funny. I actually never played with Sam because when he actually transferred in the MT the same time I transferred here.
Oh, my bad.
But I knew of him though. You know, I kept up with MT throughout the season, and I still talked to a lot of my former teammates on the team. And when he entered the portal, they're like, "Jalen, y'all need to get Sam. You're gonna be a dog." And you can see it the way he approaches everything. He's a hard worker. And you know, he's a headhunter on defense for sure. You know, he gets downhill fast. He's strong. He's a competitor as well. So yeah, he's a great asset to the defense.
Have you guys shared some Middle Tennessee stories then?
Yeah. You know, we were talking about the former coaches and stuff. I asked him a lot of his coach, will so and so still do this? And we get a little laugh about it and then, you know, stuff like that. But yeah, it's pretty cool. Got some good connections with him.
David's right. We obviously focused on offense with you, but you get a chance more in spring really than even in the fall to work against your defense there at Virginia Tech. And part of that, you know, flood of guys coming back, opting in, staying, were two really good corners. What is it like to work against, you know, the Virginia Tech defense, and how does that make this receiving core better?
Yeah, you know, going against guys like D. Strong and Mansoor, you know, those are two future NFL corners that we're getting to go against every single day. And, you know, just going back and forth with them, we even pick each other's brains too. You know, I asked them, what are you thinking on while I was running this route? They asked me the same thing. Just, you know, to help each other out and, you know, just to grow from that kind of stuff. But now, going against them every day, like one of our fundamentals is competition, and that's the only way you can get better. So just competing against them and growing has been great over the spring, and it's definitely going to lead into the summer as well.
One sense of intrigue about the spring and going into preseason camp, Jalen, will be, who is Kyron's backup? What have you seen from Pop and Dylan this spring?
Them boys, they've been coming, like I said, them boys have been coming to play every day. You know, just them kind of competing against each other. And you just tell both of them want to be good quarterbacks. And I feel like Kyron's doing a good job of leading them and showing them the way as well. But, you know, they've been growing each and every practice. You can see just not only the level of play, but their level of maturity from this time last year has grown exponentially as well. So yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see how they continue to work and grow.
Not to dampen the excitement of the spring game, but spring games generally aren't for Jalen Lane and Daquan Felton and even Ali J. They're for guys that we know maybe less about. I know coaches like to be careful. They always say the big thing for spring is to get out of there without any injuries. So who are a couple guys, offense or defense, that, you know, may get a lot of time in the spring game that you think, hey, watch out, they could have a good day?
I think offensive-wise, like I said, Aiden Green, Chance Vigil, Chance Wiggins, those guys, Takai, and also a running back, Tyler Mason, Jeremiah Coney, those two guys, are definitely keep an eye on them. And defensive-wise, I'd probably say Gabe Williams, good young guy came in, Quentin Reddish, who was Dante Lovett, those young guys is definitely going to get a lot of looks during the spring game. But yeah, they coming in and put a lot of work in. So I'm excited to see them work on Saturday.
Jalen, we have a lot of listeners in the Richmond area, and that's where Mike and I are based at the Times-Dispatch. And that's where Fontel Mines is from, your position coach. You've worked with him now for 2 years. You got a big smile on your face when I threw out his name. What's it like having Fontel, who played the position himself and went on to the next level?
Yeah, I love Coach Mines because one thing, he's going to keep it real with you, you know, whether it's good, bad, ugly. But, you know, he's a great coach. He's a great listener as well. You know, he's going to leave you with something each and every day. And I one thing I told him, I like that he's very nitpicky with me. Even when I'm doing something good, he's still trying to find something that I did wrong. Same with me, Quan, it's everybody. So, you know, just having him leading us is definitely great for us. And also add on that to one of the reasons why decided to come back as well.
Sticking with that, you know, having different coaching can help, you know, expand your game, right? Even if you've had good coaching before, just a different set of eyes and a different way of doing it. How has your game grown, expanded, changed since getting the Tech, and what areas are you still kind of working on?
One thing, you know, I've always been kind of like a speedy receiver, but I'm also trying to work a different kind of tempos and stuff like that throughout my routes. And another Cam, he came back and he's been helping us out. And so Cam Phillips, he just just helping me work with my craftiness and route running and the type of routes, whatever it may be. So him and Coach Mines, they've been just trying to hone in on that, those stuff that can help carry us throughout the season and onto the next level after the season.
You mentioned that Coach Mines is a guy who keeps it real. So let's keep it real. How important is winning the spring game to the offense, and how important is it to the defense?
Yeah, we're actually splitting up, so it's going to be orange and maroon. But, you know, you always want to win. We're all competitors. Yeah, I don't care if we're playing wiffle ball. You know, I'm going to go 100%. But, yeah, we haven't split up. I don't know which team we're going to be on yet. Yeah, I think we're doing that within the next few days. But whatever team I'm on, I'm betting on them.
What? Jalen, what will the summer look like for you? You know, once spring ball breaks and maybe you guys catch a little break, what will the off season look like?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, we're always going to do the weight training and conditioning over the summer. But, you know, one thing I'm trying to focus on is just continue to work on my weak points that I feel like that I need to work on throughout all the summer, getting a lot of catches. We got the Monarch in there. So just continue to build strength, speed, explosiveness always. But, you know, just kind of focus on what I need to get better at leading into fall camp come August.
And I know it's not the same as Enter Sandman on game day or a game night if you get it, but what are you looking forward to in terms of the atmosphere, and what does it add to a practice, to a workout, to a spring game that you're going to have fans in the stands? And at Virginia Tech, you get a nice turnout for the spring game.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, Devin, you know, you always want to put on a show for the fans, especially around this time, you know, just because they came out as free for them, but you know, they love football here, and, you know, putting on the show for them is part of why we do it. And, you know, having the Enter Sandman and just the loyal fan base that we have is just makes you love playing in Blacksburg. So, yeah, I'm excited for Saturday. It'll be fun.
Sounds good. Well, David and I will be there. We're looking forward to it. We're looking forward to seeing you guys play next season. Jalen Lane, the very talented wide receiver from Virginia Tech, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Jalen.
Thank you.
Well, we are joined now by Damian Sordelet of the Roanoke Times. And Damian, he's been living the spring football life with the Hokies for the past month, getting a firsthand view of what's going on at Virginia Tech. First of all, Damian, thanks for joining us.
Mike, thanks for having me on. Been a productive spring right now, seeing where the group's heading into Saturday spring game.
Yeah, and you know, this has been a spring, I think, a highly anticipated spring, Damian, because this team brought everybody back, right? Like all of the big names, so many key players back on both sides of the ball. It wasn't one of those springs of struggles and of trying to have enough bodies and of, you know, question marks. This felt like a spring that Virginia Tech could really use to springboard itself into the season. Has that been what you've seen out on the practice fields?
Yeah, it has been. And everyone's been getting work. And that goes with every one of your starters on offense, because everyone's returning. Defense has been more productive because you've had to get Aeneas Peoples, the transfer from Duke, Kelvin Gilliam, the transfer from Oklahoma, Kamari Copeland, the Iowa Western Community College transfer, get them up to speed there on the defensive line at tackle, because they're going to be three of the five in the rotation there on the inside. And with Kelly Lawson, your Will linebacker, being out all spring with a wrist injury, it's been key to get Jaden Keller more comfortable and see him run around better, because with Sam Brumfield, the Middle Tennessee transfer, being your starting Mike linebacker, you need depth there at Will. And I think Keller and Jaden McDonald have brought that. And, you know, they've been able to tailor back the reps for guys like Dorian Strong, Mansoor Delane at cornerback, because they really don't need it, because you know what you're going to get out of them. So Brent Pride talked to us Tuesday morning, and he mentioned there are guys who, you know, your starters that are pretty set in stone. They're reining them back a bit. And, you know, spring is going to be seeing who can fill out the two deep right now, and who can be special teams guys, and who's going to be, you know, in that position where they don't have to have conversations about whether or not you need to transfer to go find some playing time, because the second transfer portal window opens, and, you know, Tech's going to need to have some attrition with the summer enrollees coming in. So This is a spring game where, like the past 2 years, it's going to be very competitive because you have guys that are fighting to stay on this roster.
Yeah, and it is, it's a fascinating kind of configuration because, like I said, you've got so many key guys back. You don't have to work them into the ground, but you can certainly refine some things. I think one of the, obviously the big things is having Drones back at quarterback, and now him being, the guy. What have you seen from him, and what has elevated or improved in his game?
His ability to thread the needle on really tight windows, that was an area that struggled a bit. You saw last year, he could throw the ball deep. He could find the guys who were open, but it was those passes where you got to fit it through a tight window, and they've really refined that with him this spring. And the few chances I've gotten to see him in some red zone drills, he's looked really good. They scaled him back in last week's scrimmage and limited his play count, so the backup quarterbacks, Pop Watson and Dylan Wicky, could get about 100 snaps apiece. So they know what they have in Kyren Drones. So they're really trying to keep him healthy and really cultivate that backup quarterback battle because, unlike last year with Drones transferring from Baylor and you had Grant Wells, you had two guys with experience. This year behind Drones, besides a few snaps here and there for Pop Watson, there's no experience. So they've been trying to get those guys caught up as quickly as possible, so that way going into the season, you feel a lot better with where you are from that standpoint. But to go back to your question, Kyren Drones has looked better as a passer. And, with the weapons he has coming back, there's no reason to think he can't continue the progression he made, through the end of last year.
Well, let's talk a little bit about those weapons because, 2 years ago, this was a team, 2, 3 years really, a team that was devoid of playmakers. It didn't have guys that you wanted to get the ball to. And now you look at a roster, particularly at the wide receiver position, that is just loaded with experienced players. Guys who have shown big play ability. We saw what Lane and Felton did as kind of the focal point in the passing game last year, especially after Ali Jennings' injury. But there's other guys, and when you think about Gosnell and Holloway and Turner Bradshaw, who have some experience now, how good is this receiving core?
It's getting much better. And I'll say this, Ali Jennings this spring has looked every bit as good as he did leading into last season. He looks sharp. He looks fresh. And Fontel Mines brought it up repeatedly early in spring that this is the first time Jennings is going through a spring where he's healthy. And I can't speak to where he was health-wise at Old Dominion in West Virginia, but I know last year he had a nagging ankle injury that really limited him last spring. But he's looked really good, especially with Steven Gosnell being out for the entire spring with a injury he suffered non-contact against Tulane in the Military Bowl when he was trying to make a cut going on a post route. He's been recovering. Tucker Holloway is going to be out for the spring game because of a right knee injury. So that's a lot of guys like Taki Heath, kid from Highland Springs, one of many Highland Springs kids on the roster. He's probably the best behind Lane at in the slot. He had a play in Friday scrimmage where he ran the perfect skinny post, and it was a beautiful catch and run after that. And he's taken a real leap forward after having his season cut short last year with a hand injury. So behind the like those top guys, and really look at your roster, you got six guys at the top, five outside guys that are really kind of locked in. And I think Heath and Turner Bradshaw have been battling for that slot spot. And that's a good position to have because I know you probably remember watching Tech in 2022 and, behind Caden Smith, there weren't many options.
No,
Maybe
no.
Dwayne Lofton, but now that wide receiver room has been restocked, and it looks like the those Tech teams from maybe 10 years ago when you had stack units like Eddie Royal leading the way, Cam Phillips, when those rosters, Isaiah Ford, the receiver room was loaded, and Tech's now in more of a position where they're going to throw the ball more compared to when they were run heavy. So that's the advantage of this team, is having that depth, and you're able to utilize it on a weekly basis.
It's going to be really interesting because you're right. I think about Isaiah Ford, Cam Phillips, Bucky Hodges, and that was a great trio, but not a ton of depth behind them. And I'm not saying that Jennings Lane, Felton are as good. Maybe they will be. We'll see as those three. But the depth is there, and I think that's going to make those frontline three even more effective because they get a little bit of a rest. Damien, there's depth at the offensive line. There seems like there's options at running back. We just went through receiver. You talked about there is a little bit of a battle behind drones for the backup quarterback. On the defensive side of the ball, is there some competition? Are there some spots open, or is this as locked up as, I mean, certainly we know the two corner spots, but how does the rest of that defense kind of look competition-wise?
It's you really haven't had a chance to look at the competition at safety because of Jalen Stroman being out after having the shoulder surgery in between the win over UVA and the Military Bowl. He hasn't been cleared to practice all spring. So you've had Jalen Jones, who was thrust into action last year, the Richmond native who started at wide receiver, got moved to safety last year, and really started a lot of the season at free safety because, necessarily people's being hurt, and Stroman's really the only one in that room who has the flexibility to play both boundary and field safety. But Mose Phillips has really taken a step forward this year. He was a true freshman last year, played in all 13 games, started two. And you could tell, and this was kind of the crux early in the year for Virginia Tech, was limiting those explosive run plays. And, I think there was a point where they were tied for last in the nation in most, where they had allowed the most runs of 50 plus yards in the nation. And, Phillips has really helped. He looks faster. He looks more assertive going in there at the boundary safety. So you have flexibility with how you want to defend teams now with Virginia Tech, where if you want Stroman out there because of his speed and you're going against a team that throws more, you can put him at the boundary, Jones at field, and even a team that runs more, you can bring in Phillips at boundary, move Stroman to the field. And that's something they didn't have last year because of how young they were behind Peoples and Stroman. So that's the one position I kind of want to see play out. I'm also interested to see how they use Brenlon Johnson because he's worked at both corner. He plays the field corner behind Dorian Strong, and he's also worked at safety. So I kind of want to see where they want to put him. I've seen him at both field and corner and field safety this year, this spring. So it'll be interesting to see where they slot him and how they envision the room looking, whether corner, safety room, and they really like that flexibility. But if you keep him at corner, you have a legit two deep with Lovett and Johnson backing up Strong and Delane.
It'll be interesting to see how some of that looks, certainly in the spring game. Obviously, that won't be binding to how they play in the fall. But I do want to ask you before we let you go, spring games are infamous, famous, notorious, however you want to say it, for having a guy or two who has a big day, even though maybe they're not headed for all ACC or all American honors. It's just the amount of reps they get with a little bit of certainly their own ability. Who are one or two guys like that, maybe under the radar, not projecting them to be all conference players, but that might have a big day here in the spring game?
Yeah, I'll go back to last year. Chance Black had two touchdowns, and he's currently in the transfer portal. A guy who, they thought about moving to defense, and then he had that good spring game, and they kept him in offense, and he really never materialized behind Bashaul Tutin and Malachi Thomas. But I look at the running back room, you need a number three guy because Black and Bryce Duke entered the transfer portal after the season, and Duke went to Old Dominion. Jeremiah Coney is a redshirt freshman that they are really high on, and he is looking from them, and he's built more like Thomas, a bigger guy who you think could run between the tackles, but he has the speed and the vision to do outside zone runs like Tutin. So, I kind of want to see what he does and how well he plays. And, that's a guy like between him and true freshman Tyler Mason, like, can they emerge as that number three guy? Because you'll carry three running backs, and you want to see who can emerge because Tutin and Thomas will not get a lot of carries in the spring game. So you kind of want to see how they perform.
Yeah, I think backup running back's always a smart place to put your money if you're looking for a breakout spring game performer. Well, Damon, I will see you at Lane Stadium for this one. It should be a lot of fun. Like I said, this is a pretty loaded team, and then we'll be following you and your coverage all year in the Roanoke Times.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, thank you to Damian for joining us today. Remember, you can read his coverage of the Hokies in the Roanoke Times and at Roanoke.com. And thank you to Virginia Tech wide receiver Jalen Lane for taking some time out from his preparation to join the show. Thank you all for listening. You can subscribe to Teal and Barber on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find your favorite pods. And please consider supporting local journalism with an online subscription to the Times-Dispatch. Today's show was produced by Dean Hoffmeyer and yours truly. For David Teal, I'm Mike Barber. Thanks for listening. Be healthy and safe. And please join David and me again next week when we'll preview UVA's spring game.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.